ESPN 97.5 studios. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Going back to what we were talking about with the wind, it helps that the two pitchers tonight are, for the most part, you would say, ground ball pitchers.
Yeah.
Greinke and Tanaka.
Control guys.
Yeah. So I would think that maybe the wind won't be as much of a factor with these two on the mound. I would be worried if Justin Verlander were pitching, a guy who's got a way higher fly ball percentage. But in this case, it shouldn't be too much of an issue.
I think the Colts are kind of underrated. I mean, to me, they're not great at anything. Well, they're great at running the football, but they're solid everywhere.
Yeah,
and they don't really go down the field a whole lot. And that's the one thing that the Texans have going for them. It's strength on strength, because the Texans, they want a team that wants to run the ball, that doesn't want to throw downfield. We've talked about that the last couple weeks.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch and put your comments on there. And if you missed any of that from the first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com. And VH Blitzer says it's impossible to get through to some idiots. I don't think they're idiots. I just think their thinking's flawed, and they want to just keep hanging on to it, and that's okay. I'm sure they think my thinking's flawed. Mine and A.J. Hoffman's and A.J. Hinch's. We're all flawed because we all agree. We have Brad? Awesome. All right. Well, let's go to one of our all-time favorite guys. Lead college football and college basketball analyst for pregame.com. We're not that far from college basketball when he and A.J.
I can't wait.
Do one hell of a podcast. You can follow Brad on Twitter at BradPowers7. And our guest is, you guessed it, Brad Powers. What's up, buddy?
Gentlemen, how are you on this fine Thursday evening?
R.J. treat you all right today?
Yeah, he did. He did.
That's good. I don't want
very to, nice. Kids want, gloves. Yeah.
I don't want
kids
to bully you. I know he can bully at times. I don't want to hear about any of that.
It's all good. I'm used to it. I mean, have you seen me? I got bullied my whole life.
The only one who doesn't is Fezzik, right? He doesn't bully you, does he?
He's capable of, but he chooses not to.
Well,
he's more of a guy that would rather, get you from, with the knife in the back.
Since
I love him, though. I love him. He's one of my best friends.
No one's going to be watching the Astros-Yankees game tonight, and no one's going to be watching Chiefs-Broncos. Everyone's going to be watching ULL-Arkansas State and UCLA-Stanford with backup quarterbacks. I mean, do you see anything on tonight's card that jumps out at you with those two matchups?
Well, I liked Stanford, but obviously going with the third-string guy, not so much. And it's not only that, but they're going to be, they have a couple of offensive linemen that are also going to be out. But in no way, shape, or form do I want UCLA. I probably would prefer the under at this point. But the problem is when you're backing the unders with backup quarterbacks, very high variance. So you could have maybe one of your easiest wins of the season. Could be one of those, 20-17 type of games. Or you could have these quarterbacks throwing a bunch of interceptions, setting up short fields, pick sixes, and the game goes over. I guess what I'm getting at, too much uncertainty in that one. In the other game, the Sun Belt game, I think UL Lafayette's a little overpriced in the marketplace. Started off hot, 5-0 against the spread, and they came up a little bit short last week against App State. Now that you're laying points on the road against an Arkansas State team that is 50-14 straight up at home since 2008, I think it's a little pricey. I lean on the Red Wolves.
I like the over in that game. Do you know how many teams are worse defensively than Arkansas State?
5.
1. UMass.
Wow.
That's it. I mean, so to me, 60, and ULL is like, I think they're number 6 in rushing offense in the country. And Arkansas State's not a bad offense either. I think 68 might be a low number here for a total.
There you go. No objection here.
Let's get to some of the bigger games from this weekend. The game that's probably the marquee game of the week is going to be Penn State Michigan. What do you see in that matchup? I know Michigan last year dominated, and mostly with their running game. I tend to think it's going to be tougher for them to do that against this version of Penn State. And if that means you're asking Shea Patterson to beat Penn State, I don't believe he can do it. What do you think of that Penn State-Michigan matchup?
Yeah, I like Penn State here. And look, it's not been competitive. It's just been whoever's the home teams. I mean, it's been three consecutive blowout wins for the home team, a whiteout situation. And for those that don't know, I would argue it's one of the most hostile environments in all of college football throughout the course of a season. And even Kirk Herbstreit mentions it. Hey, this is the atmosphere that he most looks forward to each and every year. And Penn State's covered these games about 60% of the time the last 15 years. And keep in mind, almost all of them are against ranked teams. So it's not against Temple. It's against the Michigans, the Ohio States of the world. The big matchup advantage that Penn State has here is their defense. Just strictly speaking, number three in the country yards per play allowed against a Michigan offense that has had trouble running the football. Shea Patterson's been inconsistent throwing it. And they're number 81 in yards per play on offense. Huge mismatch there. And just the fact that, I mean, I don't want to call him a choker, but, I mean, I guess he has been. In these big games, when he's up against it, Jim Harbaugh, 0-7 as an underdog. And I know people are going to say, well, he's not supposed to win. Okay, he's 0-7 straight up. But he's failing to cover the spread in those seven games by an average of 10 points per game. Add it up for me, and I'll take the Nittany Lions.
Let's look at one of these other. There's three matchups this week featuring two top 25 teams. Another one is Utah and Arizona State. Utah giving up 13.5, which seems like a big number. But, man, I just haven't bought into Arizona State yet. I feel like Utah is.
Really?
I haven't. I mean, I think they're sharp defensively. But I think, you've got a massive home field edge at Rice-Eccles, and this Utah team can score. And I don't know that Arizona State in a shootout situation is a team I want to be with.
Fair enough. Although, I mean, they just won a shootout last week.
Against
going up
who?
And down the field. I mean, I get it, Washington State, but they've gone on the road as a double-digit underdog and beat Michigan State. The whole world was on Michigan State that game. That line climbed like 3 points throughout the course of the week. And there, it was Arizona State's true freshman, Jaden Daniels, who made another play last week. It's him making plays on that final critical drive against an elite defense in Michigan State. I'll put Michigan State's defense up there right with Utah.
Do you think Arizona State will have to score more than a touchdown to beat Utah?
Yeah, well, no question they will.
Okay.
I mean, we're getting almost two touchdowns here. So I get it. They're up against it. But Herm Edwards hasn't lost a game in 2 years here by more than 11 points. In fact, only one game has he lost by more than a touchdown in 19 games. That was the bowl game when N'Keal Harry decided to skip out. Other than that, I mean, these games have been remarkably close with Arizona State. Whether they win or lose, 13 of the last 16 games have been decided by 7 points or less. Give me the dog here.
The other, speaking of dogs, the other top 25 matchup, also in the Pac-12, Oregon at Washington, number 12 Oregon at number 25 Washington. Oregon -3 road favorites against Washington, one of the toughest home fields. I'm not sure how I feel about Oregon here. I kind of lean Washington, but I kind of like the under. I think it's going to be both of these teams, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding, and I think there's going to be some weather. It seems like a low-scoring, sort of a grinding game to me. What do you think?
Did you listen to the Dream Preview this week?
I have not.
All right, fair enough. Well, I lean Washington. But I like the under here, like the under quite a bit. And let's talk about Oregon first. I think for the last decade, obviously the first thing you think of Oregon is offense. And even coming into this year, first thing you thought about Oregon football is probably Justin Herbert at quarterback. But the last five games, it's been the Oregon defense that's been the story. They've allowed 25 points, not per game, 25 total points in five games. But yet that offense this year, when they've actually had to face a pretty good defense, and they're going to face a decent one this week. I mean, Oregon only mustered 21 against Auburn, 21 against Stanford, 17 against Cal. And Washington's offense hasn't had much success when they've had to step up and play some legit competition. 19 against Cal, 13 against Stanford. Weather, like you mentioned, going to be a factor. I like the under and lean with Washington.
Ask you about a couple games here that I feel like I'm being lulled to sleep with, and I feel like I'm going to be a sucker if I take these sides. But I know Wisconsin's going on the road. I know they've only gone on the road once this year. Illinois just seems so bad to me, and Wisconsin is not only good offensively, but I think they're really good defensively. Is 31 just too big of a number at this point for you?
Yeah, it is, because, I mean, it's tough. I mean, this is going to sound like a duct tape shoes handicap, what we like to mention here. But they do have Ohio State on deck. Is Jonathan Taylor going to be in there later in the game? I think they go to the backups quicker in this game than they normally do because the Buckeyes are on deck. Yeah, I think you're paying a premium on Wisconsin, but let's face it.
It's hard to bet against them right now.
Yeah, because when you're talking about ATS margin this year, how have you done against expectations? Wisconsin is number one in the country in ATS margin, plus 17.5 points per game above the Vegas spread. To me, I don't want to lay it, but I'm certainly not saying, hey, take Illinois here.
The other game that just seems too good to be true, and I know, I always look for these buy low, sell high spots, and I'm taking Florida at -5, who just gave LSU all they can handle, and I think LSU is an elite team. And the final score is 14 points. I think I felt lucky to cash that LSU ticket last week. And South Carolina, should they have covered against Georgia? Certainly. Should they have won against Georgia? I think it took a lot of really lucky things happening for that to happen. And now I'm only giving 5 points against a South Carolina team that I don't really particularly trust. Why is this number so short? And am I just being suckered here?
I'll be there with you. We can put sucker on our foreheads here. I'm with Florida. I couldn't have said it better myself. I bet against Florida last week and felt very fortunate to win. I was super impressed. Not with Florida's defense. Obviously they struggled against LSU. But that Florida offense with Dan Mullen calling plays. I talked with a couple of Florida people and I'm like, right now, the way they used Emory Jones and Kyle Trask last week, would you rather have them or Felipe Franks? And almost all of them said, we'll take Kyle Trask and Emory Jones the way they used the two quarterbacks last week. And on top of that, you hit the nail on the head. I think the market upgraded South Carolina too much. It was that big outright upset win that everyone's talking about since last weekend. But the reality is they're +4 in turnovers. Georgia did everything that you need to do to lose a football game. Their All-American kicker has a field goal block, misses a field goal. Jake Fromm has 0 turnovers coming into the game. He has, 4 or 5, has his worst game of his career. He's fumbling snaps and scoring opportunities, throwing pick sixes before the second quarter. It was a disaster for Georgia. I think we can make some money on it. I get it. Florida extended a lot of energy the last 2 weeks against Auburn and LSU. But that's factored. That's why the line's 5. I think it's actually cheap right now. Give me the Gators.
It's scary when all three of us agree on something. So I'm on that. I'm with you on that one.
I didn't know that, Fred.
Sorry.
Oh, Jesus. Now I got
to fade, Fred.
A couple I wanted to ask you about. And speaking of backup quarterbacks, it's another backup quarterback battle. But the two guys Boise trotted out last week, I think, are a lot better than what BYU is going to be trotting out. And this might be the last chance for Boise to lose this year. I'm pretty sure they're aware of that. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, I can only bet Boise here. I'm just not trusting what's going on with BYU. And has any team fallen further? I'm sure there's some examples out there. But what we thought of BYU after they beat Tennessee
Florida
and
State.
USC.
Virginia Tech. Mississippi State. There's a few of them.
Fair enough. UCLA, Vanderbilt, Nebraska. Fair enough. But, this team, are you kidding? I think his hot seat's warming up big time, Kalani Sitake. And you're going on the road, you're losing to Toledo, and I thought last week was unacceptable. With a backup or without, I don't care. You had a bye week to prepare for what I think is a bad South Florida team, and you lose that game. That's a bad look. I could only bet Boise State here. I'm not in love with it, though.
Another one, this one I kind of like, especially with Baylor coming off a double overtime game. Oklahoma State's had a week off to kind of lick their wounds after going to Lubbock. Oklahoma State, a 4-point favorite over an unbeaten Baylor team. I like Oklahoma State here a lot. Tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not. So I don't use this often. I'm not, what RJ Bell likes to say, a sell your house, sell your wife, sell your kids type of guy. But I'm not saying it's close, but this is one of my favorite plays of the year. I think Oklahoma State's clearly the right side here. You get an Oklahoma State team coming fresh off a bye, off a misleading loss against Texas Tech, their previous game. Why was it misleading? Oklahoma State was -5 in turnovers in that one. And I thought Spencer Sanders, their quarterback, after that game, in the press conference, I was impressed with the young quarterback, the way he put the blame on his shoulders after that one. I think Baylor obviously has been fortunate in two of their last three games, winning basically two coin flips. And here's an injury here that I don't think is properly getting priced in the marketplace. Baylor lost their best defensive player,
yep.
Clay Johnston, 58 tackles. Who's their second leading tackler? Well, the guy only has 30. He has double the second leading guy. That's not getting factored in. Baylor's, you know, fattened up on a light schedule here. Oklahoma State's a play. I think they blow out Baylor.
Oh, I feel so much better now. Another one I was kind of interested in, and I kind of backed off, was Arizona getting 10 at USC. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
I think 10 sounds about right to me. Yeah. I was very impressed with SC. I thought they could have rolled over and died. I mean, last week. They're down 20-3 in South Bend. It's 45 degrees outside. Notre Dame's really running on them. I mean, Notre Dame still ended up with 300-plus rush yards, but I'll tell you, Keaton Slovis in that passing game really got going in the second half, and I don't think anyone's going to argue. USC has a legitimate top three or four wide receiver core in the country, and I just don't like what I saw from Arizona in the second half of their game at home against Washington. I think 10's a fair number.
Texas Longhorns, they are coming off a disappointing showing against Oklahoma. It ends up being a seven-point game. I don't think they played them within seven, but anytime you're that close, you feel like maybe you had a chance to win. There's got to be some kind of a letdown. I'll be honest, these Les Miles Kansas teams seem more difficult to blow out than past Kansas teams, and Kansas, historically, at least in recent history, has played Texas pretty close. Does this feel like too many points for you, given three touchdowns with the Horns?
Yeah, but I think it's all building in the number. I mean, 21's not that much. Keep in mind, Oklahoma was, laying 33 on the road against Kansas, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So not last week, the game before Texas. So you flip home field away, they'd have been laying, 38? And Texas is laying 21? What was that Oklahoma-Texas line last week? It was 10, right?
10, yeah.
I get it that Texas probably shouldn't have covered, but I think all of what you mentioned, hey, Kansas has given Texas problems. Hey, it's a bad spot for Texas. They're coming off Oklahoma. Kansas is coming off a bye. The fact, the Kansas has been a little bit improved this year. I think all of that is the reason why this line is 21 and not 26 or 27. I guess I'm square here. I would prefer to lay it than take it.
I wanted to ask you about this might be a little weird one, but Temple and SMU, and SMU unbeaten. They're 8-point favorites at home, and Temple has been pretty dependable. They cover at home. They don't cover on the road. And 8 feels like a lot for a team that's coming off a big win over Memphis, but they are going to SMU. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Are you sure Temple doesn't cover on the road? Are you talking this year?
This year, yeah.
All right, because, Fred, if RJ was here, he'd call you square. Since 2009, Temple on the road, 41-19.
I'm talking about
the spread.
This season particularly, though. New coach.
So. Well, that's a short sample size, Fred.
All right. Well, but it's like 6-0. I think it's 6-0. So.
I hear you. Yeah, I think, I'd prefer to take SMU here. I mean, off a bye, they got their scare against Tulsa prior to the bye. I still think there's a lot of momentum. The fact that they overcame a 3-touchdown deficit in that game and were able to keep the unbeaten streak going. Temple's off a big, win over Memphis last week. Spot's not good here for the Owls. I would, if I'm going to play it, I would lean with SMU.
Texas A&M is no longer got a number next to their name. They've lost 3 games against Clemson, Auburn, Alabama. No shame in that. But their only wins are Texas State, Lamar, Arkansas. Nothing to write home about. Now they're at Ole Miss, which seems like sort of in the middle of the teams they've beat and the teams that they haven't beaten. Are we getting maybe a little bit of value on Texas A&M here? I mean, because I would have guessed the preseason look-ahead line would have been close to double digits on A&M.
I agree with that. I think it would have been, right around 10. I'm going to lean A&M here, although it kind of scares me a little bit. But for what you mentioned, I mean, you got an A&M team that – okay, they lost to 3 top 10 teams. There's really no shame. I mean, okay, you lost by 19 to Alabama. You're getting 17. No major downgrade there. You're getting 16, 17 against Clemson. You lost by 14. No major downgrade there. The only game where I've significantly downgraded, one in a game that they won against Arkansas that they almost lost, and then the Auburn game where they lost outright as a favorite. But, I mean, Texas A&M is down a little bit in my power ranks, but not down that much. It's not like Ole Miss is setting the world on fire. I mean, their young quarterback is really showing a lot, but they've went to the 2 quarterback system, which they should keep with the freshman. I would lean with the Aggies here.
All right, before we let you go, I'll ask about what I feel is my squarest side of the week. And I like
to haven't given it yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness.
I haven't yet. I like to play totals. And when I was going through and I saw the Cal Oregon State total at 52, it kind of took me aback because Cal, with that backup quarterback, they are not good offensively. And I still think, other than maybe Utah and Oregon, I think they might be one of the best defensive teams in the conference. Oregon State is still a really bad team. 52 just seems like a massive number for what I think is a good Cal team, but good because they're good on defense, and an Oregon State team that I don't see much life in. Why is that number as high as it is, and am I a sucker for going under it?
I don't think you're ever really a sucker if you're betting the under. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Joe Public's going to want to bet scoring. So he's going to want to bet the favorite, and he's going to want to bet the over. And I think, I mean, I hate to use the East Coast bias, but I don't think enough of the market's paying attention to Pac-12, specifically these two teams. I think you got a winner there. I got it at 50, so I'm certainly leaning that way.
All right, and then I like to ask you. I like to ask you about UMass every week, and will they be able to cover this horrible number? Unfortunately for us, UMass is off this week. So
are you sure they're not catching 14 against Bye?
No. Instead, I'll bring up Buffalo at Akron.
Oh, wow.
Buffalo, you've got to give 17, 17 and a half, depending on your shop. But we saw Akron, I mean, they couldn't cover at home last week.
They lost to UMass.
Yeah, and they're in the argument for worst team. I still have them power rated ahead of UMass.
Yeah, I do too.
But what do you think? 17 and a half, is that too many to lay with Buffalo against a lowly Akron squad?
I don't want Akron. I mean, they're 0-6, but I mean, they're failing to cover the spread by 12 points per game this year. And how about this? Akron simply has no home field advantage. As a home dog since 2008, Akron is 7-26 against the spread as a home dog. You think there'd be some rah-rah there in Northeast Ohio? I guess not. I mean, it's not only the Browns that are pitiful, it's the Akron Zips.
Hey, and I'm sure you're fully aware, Bowling Green with the big upset last week. That's your alma mater, correct?
That is.
I mean,
big win for the Falcons.
That's a huge win. Now they're catching 10.5 at home against Central Michigan. You going to keep riding the Lightning, or do you think that was a one-time thing?
I'm worried that it was, and I really like the job Jim McElwain's doing at Central Michigan. That was an underrated hire, by the way, and they're much improved. They won one game last year, and I think Central Michigan's going to end up in a bowl game. But it, again, looks like you're paying a premium if you want to fade Bowling Green, and if you're paying the premium fading, I want to take the Falcons second week in a row. Gimme my alma mater.
Is Bowling Green Toledo, is that like a big rivalry game?
That is the rivalry, at least in that. Well, I'll be honest with you. If it had to go up against the Ohio State-Michigan game, because I'm from the Toledo area, it no chance. So, I mean, you're really indifferent. You go to a MAC school, it's all about, you know, are you going to go to the game tonight? Well, what time do the Buckeyes play? I mean, if it's the same time, no, I'm not going to the game.
Well, that's the reason I ask that is because I think that, you know, when you look at the last two for Bowling Green, they played Notre Dame, which is obviously a big game for them, although they forgot to show up. And then they play their big rival in Toledo. And then I know next week they play Western Michigan, who's probably the best team in the MAC. To me, this seems like maybe a sleepy spot for Bowling Green.
That's a good handicap. Yeah, you just talked me off of my alma mater. Thanks a lot.
All right, well, before we let you go, I want to ask you about one more local team, because Winless Rice is a 4.5-point favorite at UTSA. Mm. I really want to bet UTSA here, and I just can't find a reason to do it. This is like,
yeah, 50. I mean,
Sorry, go ahead.
The market really hates UTSA this year. I mean, remember they bet UTEP a favorite over them, and how that game worked out. UTSA won by 10 and clearly deserved the win. They dominated the line of scrimmage. I get it. Frank Harris, their quarterback for UTSA, he's going to be out for the season. And look, Rice is 0-6, but they are clearly improved this year. They deserve to be favored in the game, but I don't know if they deserve to be favored by more than a field goal. I would lean UTSA here.
All right. There you go. We got the Rice Owls in at the end. Brad Powers has been our guest, lead college football and college basketball analyst at pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. He does a great job. Check out his work on pregame. Brad, great stuff as always, man. We will look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. You know, it's funny when Aaron says in my ear, cheers. I'm like, what? Well, I'm not drinking.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers to you. But I am going to be drinking later. Yeah, somebody watching the Astros. And
you think they're going to drive you to drink?
Oh, they always do. And there's a lot of intensity in these playoff games.
Okay.
And guess what? Our friend at Cheers want to take care of you. For the rest of the 2019 playoffs, they're offering a big discount on all Cheers products. It's really simple. Watch the game, you drink, you take Cheers. That way you feel better tomorrow. And when you feel better, you're going to root harder for the next game. And when fans are rooting hard, the Astros can't be beat. That's a fact. So this is up to you to do your part to bring the World Series back to Houston. Go to CheersHealth.com today. Enter promo code CrushCity19 at checkout. You're going to get 19% off your next order of Cheers. That's CheersHealth.com, code CrushCity19 for 19% off of all Cheers products. And, guys, if you don't feel 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back, even with that 19% off. So be sure to stock up on Cheers now. Remember, just take 3 capsules after your last drink. That'll make all the difference. And they're based right here in Houston, so if you order before 4 o'clock, you're going to get it the next day. Order today at CheersHealth.com, promo code CrushCity19. Hey, guys, you want to get in on the action? You just heard us talking about all those college plays that we got this weekend. Got an NFL game tonight that we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. You want to get in on the Astros? There's one place to go, mybookie.ag. And listen, I used to play on a lot of sites. Mybookie.ag is the only site I play on now because when I win, I get paid. And a lot of these other places, part of the gamble is putting your money in there. That's not the case with MyBookie. Nobody pays out faster. You get your cash when you want it. And they've got so many options. They've got all those sports that we've been talking about, college football, NFL, baseball. You want to bet hockey, some of those hockey plays I throw out there. It's all on MyBookie.ag. Play the horses on there, too. If you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit. That's right. First-timers, they're going to double your first deposit. Use promo code RADIO to get your exclusive double your money offer. That's promo code RADIO, mybookie.ag, promo code RADIO. They've got all sorts of options for you on there. And if you're already signed up, keep an eye on your email because they're all the time giving you all kinds of opportunities to use all sorts of bonuses. Promo code RADIO right now, mybookie.ag. Play, win, get paid, mybookie. And speaking of mybookie, time to go to our good friend Rafael Esparza, who joins us and talks a little gambling with us every week. What's going on, Rafael?
Not much. I was just listening to your show, and I don't know who you guys had on before me, but he was talking about Pac-12 football not getting that much betting action. Totally wrong. Anytime there's Pac-12 after dark, tons of action because people are chasing with the bad plays they had all afternoon and early evening. So we get quite a few action in Vegas in Pac-12 and here at my bookie, tons of Pac-12 bettors out there.
Well, that's why the Hawaii Saturday night games in Hawaii are always my favorite. That's always the get-out game of all get-out games.
As long as there's no luau at halftime, because that game can go 4 or 5 hours long.
Well, hey, let's start with the game tonight. Chiefs, 3-point favorites on the road against the Broncos. They're coming off back-to-back losses. Broncos have won 2 in a row, but how do you see this one going?
I kind of like Kansas City, because I think we're going to see some offense. I know Thursday night games have been duds lately, but 48.5. I think we're going to see some offense, and if you could go offense toe-to-toe, I'm sorry, Denver won't be able to go toe-to-toe of Kansas City. I know Mahomes is still not 100%, but I think it's going to be an offensive game. I think we'll see some points at Mile High. Give me Kansas City -3.
A little different, I'll ask you about baseball tonight, because most of the action going on the Yankees at -133 with Tanaka, who was really good in Game 1 against Greinke, who was okay, but is that the... You think that's a fair number? I think I'm seeing -133 now on the Yankees.
Yeah, it's fair. Greinke's on the mound, and that wind is blowing out. I mean, last time I checked, it was like 30 to 30 miles per hour blowing out. They said the wind's going to die it down maybe in the third, fourth inning. The total opened up at 8. Now it's 9. I even seen some 9.5 pop around. I think we're going to see a lot of runs scored tonight. Would not be shocked if this is the highest scoring game in the playoffs. A lot of runs will be scored tonight, I think.
Well, let's look at some of the NFL games on Sunday. Big one here in town, Texans and Colts. Colts 1-point favorites at home. Your thoughts on that one?
Whoever wins this game is going to be the second best team in the AFC, I feel. And give me Houston on the road. I like the way Deshaun Watson has been playing. And he's 9-1 to win MVP. If he beats the Colts, and let's say Baltimore beats Seattle, he might be the front runner. 9-1, jump on that. Also get McCaffrey at 9-1, too. I think that's a good bet. But give me Houston on the road against the Indy.
Yeah, I like McCaffrey at 9-1, too. A game that I'm kind of curious about. Rams are 3-point favorites at Atlanta. Atlanta's not playing very well, but they can score, and the Rams are just a mess right now, especially because of that offensive line. Do you think 3 is a fair number in this spot?
I think it is, but we might see tons of points here because, let's face it, Atlanta can't stop nothing. I mean, Houston, you guys know, you guys threw up 53 points against them. I like the over 54.5. I think that's a good bet, and boy, do the Rams need a W. I think this could be the chance they get a W in this one. I like the Rams small, but I think we're going to see tons of points scored in this one.
One more, Eagles and Cowboys. Cowboys 2.5 to 3 at home. I'm seeing 2.5 now. Both of these teams have really struggled of late. How do you see this one going?
Bet the tie. 20-20 maybe, because I have no idea who's going to win this game. I think getting value with the Cowboys' money line at minus 130 or minus 135 is a good bet, because it's going to be a close, hard-fought battle. I think Dallas squeaks out a close one at home. That's why I think there's some good value of the Cowboys' money line.
All right, that's Rafael Esparza, my bookie. He's a former Las Vegas sportsbook director, gambling analyst at DocSports.com. Rafael, always appreciate the time. Good stuff. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Take it easy. Have a fantastic weekend.
All right, good luck to you. All right. He's Oppo on one of them that we like. That's about it. He likes the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I.
You like the Texans?
No. I think it's going to be a field goal game, and because that's. But I thought that last week too. So we'll.
Do you
see.
Think it's going to be a field goal game that Kyahmi Fairbairn has to kick the field goal, or? Or the Colts going to have to kick a field goal?
I believe this will be Kyahmi Fairbairn's finest hour. Mm. I think he's going to go 2-for-4.
A coming out party.
And he's going to go 2-for-4 on field goals this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I really think he gets to 50%.
That's bold.
Yeah, well, doesn't mean I'm right. I'm just, you know. Yeah, that they don't seem concerned enough about him.
They don't. I would have cut him this week.
Oh, I would have too, but I wouldn't have also given him, what, $3 million a year in the offseason. So
is there that much guaranteed money on that thing?
I you know what, I'll check it. But I know he got a pretty solid deal. They give deals to the weirdest people.
They really do. We're not gonna pay you, Jadeveon Clowney. Yeah, we gotta save that money for Kyahmi Fairbairn.
Kyahmi Fairbairn is, well, there's no dead money if you cut him, but it's $3.095 million.
Girl, bye. No dead money?
Yeah, that's what if you cut him before June 1st, no dead money.
So are you surprised that they didn't cut him?
A little bit, although, you know, what's out there?
I don't know. Something. There's somebody.
Yeah. God, you believe that he's making more money than Tytus Howard, Duke Johnson, Laremy Tunsil, DJ Reader, Carlos Hyde, Darren Fells, Zach Cunningham. I can stop there.
Yeah, you can stop.
That's just silly, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that's what it says on Over the Cap. Now I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but most of the time it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure they think they can fix him. I think the one, and somebody brought up a good point Monday, and we never really got around to it. It's like he's, since they switched punters and that guy's been the holder, that's when his struggle started. And there was the one where he had the laces turned right at him last week. So
I think he did that on purpose to try to get the kicker cut.
Well, and there may be something to the fact that you changed holders, and maybe you need to, you know, AJ McCarron's not doing anything else.
Yeah.
Let him do it. Carly Lloyd is out here. Get out of here with Carly Lloyd.
I mean, it's worth a look.
Nope.
Carly or Kyahmi?
I'll stick with Kyahmi. I hate to say it.
Isn't J.J. Watt's chick a soccer player?
Yeah.
What could she do?
I don't know if she's tried to go out there and kick field goals.
She should. Yeah. They get to go on road trips together?
Yeah, she's got
the Texans would save on a room?
She's got a little J.J. Watt in her. Maybe she'd be really good.
Oh, she's got a lot of J.J. Watt in her.
I'm just, yeah, that's not what I meant. It's nice of you to take it off in that direction. So, but, yeah, I think... I'm guessing he gets one more week. If you lose a big game against the Colts because he misses a field goal, he's gone.
Well, I think it also helped that they didn't lose that Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Had they lost that game, uh-oh.
And it could have mattered. It really could have. And I think that's going to be the key. And it didn't matter against the Falcons either.
Yeah.
But you're probably coming down to a close game with the Colts. It could cost you. And if it does, I'll be surprised if he's here next week if they lose the game because of a missed field goal or a missed extra point. Then again, they have their pets, and he seems to be a pet. You know, Nick Martin gets a big contract because he's a pet.
Yep.
So we'll see how it all plays out. All right. One last segment to go. Boy, this flew by again. This don't feel like three-hour shows. They really don't. But, oh well. One more segment, and then your Astros.
Los Astros.
Right here on ESPN. Don't watch the game. Listen to it on ESPN 97.5.
I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. If you are looking to save money on your home insurance, maybe you don't even know how much you pay for home insurance right now. That's a shame. You need to figure it out, first of all. And then once you figure that out, send a text to TGS Insurance. Text the word money to 232323. They'll reply back asking for your address. You send that back, and you'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And the average customer that's using TGS this year has saved over $870. Is it worth $870? I mean, is it worth it to just check it out? I mean, maybe you won't save money. Okay, maybe you're in the minority that won't save any money. Maybe you save $4,000. We've seen that happen before, too. Guys, don't take that risk. TGS Insurance, it's an easy, simple process to check out, and there's no commitment. And if you're like, oh, well, I just re-signed with my guys, they don't care. They'll take care of that. They'll fix that for you. They'll get you out of that, get you your refund. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and start saving today with TGS Insurance.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. And this is where we usually do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Well, let's start with Jeremy Renner. We talked about him earlier this week.
Yeah.
Three women have come forward claiming Jeremy Renner left baggies of drugs around the house, engaged in sex parties, and had an X-rated Snapchat account.
What's wrong with all that? You're a Hollywood guy. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
All while his six-year-old daughter was in the house.
Okay, that's a fail.
And apparently he is
Can't you ship her off to a nanny or something while you're sex partying and drugging?
He's one of those dudes who apparently sends loads of D pics, which I've always thought is odd. One of the girls met Renner on Instagram, said he allegedly set up a Snapchat account while using his daughter's initials purely to send and receive nude pictures. A Snapchat message sent by Renner says, "Amazing, love that ass. You ever done Molly?" He added, "May do some tonight." And his
was
former,
the girl's name Molly?
No.
No, okay.
Former nanny, Naomi Moore, claimed that he would get drunk every night and routinely throw loud parties that affected Ava's sleep. Renner's ex-wife, Sonny Pacheco, filed for sole custody of their six-year-old daughter last week, claiming he cannot look after their child.
Sounds like your typical Hollywood guy, though, right? I mean,
except normally typical Hollywood guy doesn't have a six-year-old daughter around the house.
Sure they do. Don't you watch the movies? They're all doing drugs with the kids in the house.
Go to your room. Be quiet. Yeah. Trying to have a sex party down here. John Krasinski of The Office fame, but he also, if you recall, he... what was that movie called that he did? A Quiet Place. He's got a new movie lined up that he's going to direct, starring Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah?
Imaginary Friends, a film where a snarky guy somehow has the ability to see imaginary friends, like all imaginary friends, not just ones that he imagined. He ends up befriending many of those who have been forgotten, and he has tried to help the friends that turn evil when they're left with a void of love and friendship.
That sounds absolutely awful.
Doesn't it?
That's got to be the worst plot I've heard in forever.
One of my favorite movies when I was a kid was called Drop Dead Fred. and it was about imaginary friends. And it was a really funny movie when I was a kid, and then I grew up and tried to watch it, and it's horrible.
Yeah, that show Happy was about an imaginary unicorn, and it was, I thought it was going to be really funny, and everybody said it'd be funny and dark and everything, and it was just not good.
Isn't John Krasinski also Jack Ryan?
Yeah.
Which I didn't, is that dropped yet? Season
I don't,
two?
I don't think
I
so.
I think it's November, yeah.
Jonah Hill has been in talks to star in a new Batman movie as either the Penguin or the Riddler. I'll be honest, doesn't...
He's got to be a Penguin, right?
He seems way more Penguin than Riddler. I've also heard Seth Rogen linked to the Penguin job, but it turns out Jonah Hill will not be joining the project as a villain after all. Passed on the film after failing to agree to a deal with Warner Brothers. Hill was most recently seen in the comedy Beach Bum with Matthew McConaughey back in March. He's also starred opposite Emma Stone in Maniac, the Netflix series, and released his directorial debut mid-90s in October of last year. Otherwise, his career's been pretty quiet for the last year or two. So Jonah Hill passing on a superhero movie, which is interesting because sometimes, I mean, that's a dude who he's now looked at as a serious actor. But he still does some hokey parts.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't take a money grab here so he could do some artsy-fartsy film after that.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy who would do that.
And then I found the New York Times did a Joker ranking. Have you seen the Joker yet?
No. Going this weekend.
Okay. And they say the headline is, how does Joaquin Phoenix measure up to the actors who have played the Joker before? And it ranks 7 previous Jokers.
Okay.
But doesn't rank Joaquin Phoenix in there.
Well, that's stupid.
That defeats the whole point. Number 7, Jared Leto. Yes, the worst.
Yeah, did you see how pissed off he was that he didn't get asked to do the movie?
No. But, you're not a good Joker. Cesar Romero, number 6.
Feels low for Cesar.
Number 5, Zach Galifianakis from the Lego Batman movie.
I don't know that should even count. Cesar Romero should be ahead of him.
Number 4, Jack Nicholson.
4?
Number 3, Cameron Monaghan from Gotham. You don't watch Gotham,
no,
do you?
I don't watch Gotham.
He was really good. I mean, number 3 is high, but okay.
He'd have to be great to be better than Nicholson.
Number 2, Mark Hamill from all the Batman animated stuff.
See, I don't know that should count either, but...
And number 1, of course, Heath Ledger. So, the whole thing is stupid if you don't rank Joaquin Phoenix in there with them.
Well, and I hear Mark Hamill's great in that, but I don't watch animated, so I wouldn't know.
You don't watch anime?
Animated.
Anime porn?
Anime porn, I'm all over.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And that's Hoffman on Hollywood.
I'll throw one more in there. Apparently, Disney has said it's okay for Deadpool to keep its R rating. So they will be doing a Deadpool 3.
Hey!
And it will be R.
Look at that.
So,
Disney did do Song of the South. So,
yeah. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Enjoy the game tonight, which you can hear right here on the station. Great job, Aaron. Great job, Hoffman. Great job to all the guests today. That was okay. Tomorrow, only 2 hours, but till then, stay sports, you bitches.